debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. The big question on the Kavanaugh nomination is going to be, and frankly, I think probably a few Republicans who are doing this calculus right now, they've got an open seat. And if they can hold the Senate, well, even if they lose the Senate in November, the new Senate doesn't get sworn in until January, and Mitch McConnell can call the Senate back into session anytime he wants. So there's probably a few Republicans who are saying, if this guy gets on the court, he's damaged goods. Amy Coney Barrett will be just as destructive as Brett Kavanaugh to the individual rights of citizens, to the Civil Rights Act, to the Voting Rights Act, just destructive to America on behalf of the billionaires who own big refineries and want to pollute, who own coal and oil operations and want to pollute and poison people, the big employers who want to have unsafe workplaces because it's cheaper, to suppress the minimum wage, to blow up Social Security, to blow up Medicare, to do away with any kind of national health care program. Amy Barrett will be just as competent at that, and she will be unimpeachable. She's a woman. To overthrow Roe v. Wade and criminalize abortion in the United States and start imprisoning women who have miscarriages like they do in El Salvador. And the billionaires probably are having this conversation with some of them. This guy's damaged goods. Let's just, we'll finish the process. We'll get the vote out of committee. And a couple of Republicans are going to come forward, particularly if they're in a tight race, if this is turning into an electoral issue, they're going to come forward and say, I'm not comfortable with this. And they're going to pull the nomination and Trump will put out somebody else. And they can still get them, because they still have this absolute majority until January, no matter whether they lose the Senate or not. They can still get them through before the consequences of the midterms are done, and probably even before the midterms. Brett Kavanaugh, probably the smallest things that he lied about were the meanings of boof and devil's triangle. The largest things were he lied about his involvement with George W. Bush and torture. He lied about his involvement with stolen Democratic notes on the confirmation of judges. He participated in the 2000 campaign as one of the lawyers to argue before the Supreme Court that Al Gore should not have a recount in Florida. We now know that recount would have certified that Al Gore actually won the 2000 election, which set up so much of this. And then the George W. Bush presidency, of course, taking down Iraq and Afghanistan, basically devastated the world. This is absolutely outrageous, what is going on. First of all, it was a crime. I mean, is it perjury to lie about the meanings of boof and devil's triangle? Yeah, it is. This is like the fifth or sixth time now that Brett Kavanaugh has lied to the Senate in the last 15 years. He lied to the Senate about knowing about stolen emails and information from Democrats. He lied to the Senate about what he did in the Bush administration with regard to torture. He has lied to the Senate about the meaning of words. He has lied about how much he drinks. He's lied about whether he ever blacks out. All of these things, the field is littered with evidence of these lies. In fact, Republicans don't even bother to refute these lies anymore. They simply say, well, time's over. It's, you know, going to go on. This is perjury. In addition, the Deborah Ramirez, the second accuser, now the New Yorker has just published a series of emails between Republican staffers and her lawyer showing that they actively prevented her from testifying. They did not want her to show up. And again, this is another woman who did not come forward on her own. She was brought forward by the press, as was Dr. Ford. In this case, it was Ronan Farrow and Jane Mayer at the New Yorker. In other news of women, you probably or may not have heard the name Alba Lorena Rodriguez. She was 5 months pregnant when she had a miscarriage. And she is now facing 20 years in prison. She's been in jail for a number of years. 30-year sentence. She has already served 8 years of a 30-year sentence for having an abortion in El Salvador. One of many women who have been imprisoned in El Salvador for having miscarriages, and they imprisoned them for having abortions ever since that country in 1998 criminalized abortion, which is exactly what Brett Kavanaugh wants to do here in the United States. Other news about women, Crystal Mason begins her prison sentence in Texas for the crime of voting while being a felon. She's going to jail for 5 years. A young black woman who had a felony conviction, as you know, many people of color do, disproportionately, certainly in Texas. And she did not realize that she could not legally vote. She cast a provisional ballot because her name wasn't on the list. It was never counted. But the Republican management of the state of Texas is putting her in prison for 5 years for voting, by way of saying to black people in Texas, if you've got anything on your record, don't even think about going to the polling place. Even if you don't have anything on your record. Meanwhile, Alexandra Petrie writes in the Washington Post. This was the, in my opinion, this was the best op-ed in the entire Washington Post because it summarized the whole thing. I mean, Donald Trump's feeling of entitlement. He went to a prep school. He went to fancy colleges. He was supported by his family. His father handed him millions of dollars. And then, you know, he's the entitled rich white guy. And now Brett Kavanaugh, the next entitled rich white guy, she writes, and it's in all caps. It's in the Washington Post. It's called How Dare You Do This to Brett Kavanaugh, in all caps. And it is so worth looking for in the Washington Post, by Alexandra Petrie. She writes, how dare you do this to Brett Kavanaugh? How dare you deny him this seat? Listen, no, you listen. Do you know who Brett Kavanaugh is? Brett Kavanaugh went to Georgetown Prep. Brett Kavanaugh is an optimist who looks on the sunshine side of the mountain. Brett Kavanaugh is not yelling, you're yelling. If Brett does not secure a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, this country will be in shambles. This is his birthright. Do you know how embarrassing it is for a Georgetown Prep graduate to not be on the Supreme Court? They are literally 12% of the court. This is probably the worst indignity you can inflict on a human being. You are going to deny a qualified man, the treasurer of the Keg Club. Do you hear him? He was Keg Club treasurer and a Renate alumnus. How dare you say a Keg Club treasurer and Renate alumnus should not serve on the Supreme Court? Are you going to believe her, America, over him? You heard the woman. She doesn't even like to fly, yet she flew here. She doesn't remember all the details of the evening, whereas he kept a calendar like his father before him. He is not emotional. You are emotional. No, you listen. They're going to drag him in front of all these other men and deny him a seat on the Supreme Court, and he will have to walk home confused and disoriented, and he will have to live with the feeling that he is not on the Supreme Court for as long as he lives. Whenever he gets on a plane and sits in his seat, he will think of the seat that he is not in. This is oppression, to be denied power over others. If that is not what it is, do not tell me. Now his world is falling apart. Now he's being forced to go over his high school behavior with a fine-tooth comb. This is not fair. This scrutiny, this demand to account, he deserves the power. Give it to him. Stop asking him these questions. Stop trying to slow this train down. This train had better get where it's going or something bad will happen. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And over on Daily Beast, the headline, Kavanaugh has become hero to the incel community. Okay, let's pick up your phone calls. Tomas in Brooklyn, New York, watching Free Speech TV. Hey, Tomas, what's up?
Hey, Thomas, how you doing? I just want to make two quick points that I don't find Kavanaugh credible, because when Dick Durbin asked him on a personal level, why doesn't he ask for the FBI investigation, he was silent on it. So the question would have been, what was your reason not to ask for an FBI investigation?
Right.
And then the other point is Lindsey Graham, but the fact that I was thinking, what was Judge Merrick Garland was thinking when he heard Lindsey Graham going on his rant?
Yeah. Oh, what's Merrick Garland thinking through this whole thing? I mean, he was kept out for almost a year, for 10 months.
Right.
This is insane. And with regard to Lindsey Graham, what Lindsey Graham was doing was a job interview for Jeff Sessions' job. Lindsey Graham wants to be the Attorney General of the United States. He's been a lawyer his whole life. He was a JAG lawyer. He was a judge. He wants to be the Attorney General. He wants to be the chief prosecutor for the country. And he's been sucking up to Donald Trump like there's no tomorrow. Somebody on my Twitter feed earlier made the comment. Maybe I can find it real quickly. Here, he says, this is Don't Panic. He says, okay, I'll say it. McCain was Lindsey Graham's alpha male. Men who need alpha males often co-op their belief system. In other words, they adopt the belief system of the alpha male. Graham alpha males now is Trump. He co-opted his language. In other words, Graham borrowed Trump's language and his belief system. Graham will never be his own man. He is hardwired, needing an alpha male in his life.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but it sure makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah, I had that feeling too.
Yeah, so thank you very much for the call, and well said. I absolutely agree with you. Helen in Fairmont, West Virginia. Hey, Helen, what's up?
I watched the hearing, and I believe Dr. Ford. But what I wanted to say, did you notice Senator Whitehouse mentioned that the prosecutor that the Republicans hired, whenever she was asking about the dates and everything on his calendar, and those four boys were at this house?
Right. This is July 1st, 1982.
That's when Graham hopped up and took his little tirade.
And they took her off the floor of the Senate.
Yes, I think she was getting pretty close to the date and also who was there.
Yep.
And I think that's the only reason he went on his tirade. I'm totally disappointed in him. I'm totally disappointed in Grassley and Hatch and all those.
Yeah.
I think they're horrible people.
Yeah.
And I believe an FBI investigation is totally necessary, because I'm sure they can find that house. And then I think if they zero in on that date, that prosecutor looked like she was completely flabbergasted when they closed her off.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what she has to say about that.
I would, too. And I'm guessing, being a good Republican, that she's not giving interviews. But I would like to know what she thought, too. Helen, great points all. Thank you very much for the call. And very well said. Thanks for watching us in West Virginia there. Just a couple of quick further thoughts. It seems fairly obvious to me that when Rachel Mitchell, the sex crimes prosecutor from Maricopa County, started asking Brett Kavanaugh about July 1st, the date that Sheldon Whitehouse pointed out on his calendar, is the date that, according to Kavanaugh's own calendar, it was a Friday. He said he was out of town all the weekends. This was not a weekend. This was a Friday night. And he was having brewskis with the judge and, you know, with the guys that Christine Ford put in the room. Now, he named two other boys, and Grassley said, well, therefore, it's obviously a different meeting. You know, did the boys show up later? But as soon as she got to that issue, that was the point at which Lindsey Graham jumps up and blows the whole thing up, and Chuck Grassley lets him do it. And then they hustle her out of the room, and she's not allowed to ask Kavanaugh any more questions. Instead, he just gets a tongue bath from Ted Cruz, from John Cornyn, and from Mike Lee, and all the other Republicans on the committee. Number one. And number two, Lindsey Graham's outburst, in my humble opinion, was a job interview for the job of Attorney General of the United States with Donald Trump. Lindsey Graham used to be John McCain's best friend. And I always wondered about Lindsey Graham. You know, is he just kind of an obedient suck-up to somebody? Is his role in life, in his own mind, to be some big person's wingman? Or is he trying to develop his own persona? I mean, he did run for president once, but he was always John McCain's wingman, and now apparently he's decided to be Donald Trump's wingman, and he's completely abandoned all the principles of independence and thinking for yourself that John McCain at times exemplified and certainly claimed to have. BlindsGalore.com was the first place you could buy custom window treatments online, and because of that, they know what they're doing. They've been doing this for over 20 years and have covered over 2 million windows and know exactly how to get you the right blinds at the right price. They make it easy. They made it easy for Louise and me to go in and order. It was a breeze. It will be for you, too. Blinds Galore's products are hand-built from scratch, delivered right to your door, and created just for your windows. Their expert team is happy to help you every step of the way, either online or over the phone. Plus, they have the industry's best guarantee. If you don't like your custom blinds or shades for any reason, wrong color, you measured wrong, you don't like the style, you can exchange it for another covering for free. Blinds Galore will even set you up with 15 free samples and free shipping on top of the free expertise. It doesn't get any better than that. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know we sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com. Is Congressman Connor with us? Okay, cool. Congressman Ro Khanna is on the line.
Sorry to be a little late.
Hey, Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing well, but a terrible day in Washington, but just unbelievable, the testimony.
It really and truly is. I should introduce you. You're the U.S. Congressman from the 17th District of California, the Vice Chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Khanna, khanna.house.gov is the website, and people can tweet you at Rep. Ro Khanna. So your thoughts on what happened?
Well, it's appalling. I mean, we were just talking about this on the floor of the House. I don't think there's a single person who didn't believe Dr. Ford. She was honest and raw, emotional. It took extraordinary courage for her to come forward. She didn't want to come forward publicly. She finally did so. And then the message is it doesn't matter. I mean, the biggest irony is here they're saying there's no corroborating evidence, but they're making no effort to get any of the corroborating evidence. So it is just a slap in the face, not just of women, but of the process of American democracy, the sense that there's some fair process that would be followed. And this is just being railroaded by Grassley and the committee.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, usually when you come on, you take calls. We have a full board of calls. Every single line is full. Many people want to weigh in on the Kavanaugh thing. And I'm not sure which might be questions for you and which might just be venting. Oh, Louise just said they're all for Ro Khanna. Okay, good. So, pick up some phone calls, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to vent, I totally understand that. So
okay.
Both work for me.
Here we go. Peter in Chicago, listen on WCPT. You're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Hello, guys. Okay. Pro Brent Kavanaugh, just to let you know at the start, Dr. Ford, with the I don't fly stuff, was a bunch of BS because she was out in Delaware the entire time they were saying we will go to California. Second of all, she had no evidence, and the only evidence she had were four people who were there who all swore in an affidavit that they don't recall never happened.
No, and Peter, actually, that's not true. And Congressman, how do we rebut these sliced and diced talking points that are essentially BS?
Right.
You know, for example, her friend, she didn't make a statement. Her lawyer made a statement, and the statement wasn't that it didn't happen. It was that she doesn't remember the detail or something like that. I mean, how do you respond to this?
Exactly. I mean, Kavanaugh kept saying that the other witnesses denied that it happened, but what they said is they didn't recall whether it happened, and one person actually said she believes Dr. Ford. The big point to make is it's the Democrats and Dr. Ford that wanted a hearing and wanted evidence and wanted people to testify. You can't say that there's no evidence when you're not willing to hear the evidence. I mean, it's just the height of hypocrisy. On the one hand, they're saying there's no corroboration, but they're not willing to call Mark Judge before the committee. They're not willing to call Dr. Ford's friend before the committee. They're not willing to have an FBI investigation. How are you going to get corroboration when you're not willing to listen to the evidence? The second thing is, it's just so unfortunate about the credibility attacks on Dr. Ford. First of all, I believe her. But secondly, nitpicking about whether she flies or not is putting her on trial. And no one is nitpicking about Kavanaugh's statements about his yearbook. I mean, some of his explanations were laughable. I'd have more respect for him if he just said, I was a dumb, stupid teenager and I said things I shouldn't have. At least he would be honest. But the stretching of the truth that he engaged in to defend himself, and that's the real credibility issue.
Yeah, it really is. And, Congressman, you're still with us, right?
I am.
There you go. Okay, Dick in Seattle, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Tom and Senator, my concern is, why is the polygraph test that Dr. Ford took and passed kept such a secret? We don't hear about it yet. It is some of the best evidence, and certainly Judge Kavanaugh would not take a polygraph test because he'd fail it. He knows that. The man clearly committed an act of violence, if not rape, against this woman, and evidence seems to continually point in that direction, so I don't think we should keep this stuff secret. Even if it's not allowed in court, we know it's highly accurate in determining when you're lying and when you're not. And she passed it. So why are we talking more about that? And I'd also like to hear Tom's source on the lies that Kavanaugh's told, because we don't hear much about that either, and I don't know what his sources were. I'd like to learn more.
Congressman?
Sure. Well, I think you raise a good point. A lie detector test isn't dispositive, but it's certainly a piece of evidence, circumstantial evidence, evidence towards credibility. And the reality is that, as you pointed out, Dr. Ford passed it, and Kavanaugh is unwilling to take it. I do think that should be a huge factor in consideration. This is why you've repeatedly heard Democratic senators saying we need to have an investigation, we need to have a more thorough hearing, we need to bring these facts out, and it can't just be the opening statements. In terms of the lies, I mean, there are numerous lies Kavanaugh has told, from his access to documents, secret documents with the White House, which he denied having. He has misrepresented parts of his judicial record. But just yesterday, I mean, his explanations for terms in his high school yearbook defied any normal sense of what the truth was. And the reality is, maybe he's embarrassed of things he put in his yearbook. One could understand that if he had owned up to it. But instead, he came up with these concocted stories that no one believed.
Brad in Chicago, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. In chronological order, let's just go forward and say Kavanaugh is confirmed. Two things. First of all, there is no statute of limitations in Maryland for rape or sexual assault. Can a Supreme Court justice be indicted? The second question, what the heck is it? Oh, it's this. It's my opinion that if the Democrats do not make political hay, like haystacks worth of the fact that the Republicans are anti-woman and all the hypocrisies before these midterms, and if we don't win at least the House and possibly the Senate, then if they don't make the political hay they need to, they don't deserve to win those. They have to want it. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I appreciate that. I certainly think a Supreme Court justice can be indicted. There's no bar on that. Obviously, Justice Department policy is that you can't indict a sitting president, but there's no such policy about a Supreme Court justice. And this could be a law enforcement matter that's investigated. But the important thing to point out is that there is a whole different standard for convicting someone in a criminal proceeding and having someone serve on the highest court of the land. One of the obfuscations of the Republicans was this idea that something has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, or that there has to be huge due process criminal rights to Judge Kavanaugh. Let's be very clear. If he weren't confirmed, his fate would have been sitting on the second highest court of the land. Judge Kavanaugh was fine. And if there is doubt, an element of doubt in a country of 300 million people, we can surely find someone who doesn't have that doubt to sit on the highest court. And this is a point that's worth making, is you could believe that the evidence is not sufficient to convict someone and put them in jail, and reasonable minds could disagree on that. But I don't think anyone can say that there isn't a shadow of doubt, a cloud of doubt, that would mean that Kavanaugh shouldn't be on the court. And I agree with you, the defiance of that and failure to listen to so many women around the country, the Democrats really need to make that case so we can take back both the House and the Senate.
Kenyatta in Redlands, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Congressman. Hello. I wanted to make some quick points. One of the things that I want to say anecdotally is that I have gone through background investigations by law enforcement at the local level, let alone federal level, and they are very, very, very thorough. And I just find it incredible that none of this has come out before. Having said that, I was very struck by the language used when Brett Kavanaugh testified, if you will. He said that, you know, he kind of gave this tough guy image. I played football. He kept reiterating, I lifted weights. I drink beer. And it was really weird, the macho kind of thing. And I think about that in comparison with Donald Trump, and it just seems to be a theme. I may be way out there with that, but it was interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention was him using the term judicial hit, and that was straight out of the Clarence Thomas playbook when he said high-tech lynching. I'm old enough to remember those hearings, and it was very interesting to me, the similarities in his testimony and that of Clarence Thomas. And finally, speaking of Clarence Thomas, it was interesting to me yesterday as a black man that the two black men that ultimately were referred to in these hearings, either directly or indirectly, were Bill Cosby and Clarence Thomas.
Well, that's an interesting point about that those were the only two referred to. I do think your point about Kavanaugh is right. I mean, here's someone who has viewed himself as a winner in life his whole life. He was a star athlete. He was a star student. He went to elite universities. He pledged the same fraternity that George W. Bush was part of, an elite fraternity. He worked for the president. He clerked on the Supreme Court. And so I think his emotion actually was genuine. Here's someone who's never had something go wrong in their life, and his whole dream has been to be on the Supreme Court, and he sees for the first time something not go his way. But what was just appalling is he's playing the victim card for not being on the Supreme Court. I mean, step back and think about this. It's one of the highest privileges in the nation. No one is entitled to that. But I think your observation that this is someone who has just had an entitled life is absolutely correct. And that is the sad thing, that there was more empathy for him than Dr. Ford, who didn't have quite the same privileges.
Albert in Los Angeles, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tom. The testimony was totally credible, and when I was hearing the doctor speak, I had to immediately text my mother and say, has anything happened to you? So it's very emotional. But my question to the congressman is, how come the senators never ask questions like such? Do you believe in democracy? Who got the most votes? Do you feel ashamed to be appointed by someone who didn't get the most votes or represent the country? We got to have some out-of-the-box questions that just, you know, get to the heart of what these people think. They don't believe in democracy. Otherwise, they would do what the majority of people want done.
Sure, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I was talking to someone today who pointed out that if Kavanaugh goes through, 4 of the 9 Supreme Court justices are going to be appointed by presidents who did not win the popular vote, 2 of them with a very, very serious allegations of sexual misconduct, and they will have been approved by a Senate that represents less than a third of the actual population. So there is a counter-majoritarian sense to what the Republicans are doing in defiance of what most people want. And I do think that that's what is motivating the anger of so many Americans, and I think it's going to show up in the polls in November.
And I would add that three of them are going to be alumni of the Brooks Brothers riots. They were among the lawyers, the 50 lawyers that were hired to help take Bush v. Gore to the Supreme Court. John Roberts was a leader in that effort. Neil Gorsuch was part of that effort. And Brett Kavanaugh was part of that effort. So, you know, whether the Republicans are saying, okay, we know the guys who helped steal the election for Bush are going to be reliable votes on the court, or whether this is payback, I don't know. But it boggles my mind that from that one election, we got three lawyers on the Supreme Court.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And Congressman Khanna, if you want to comment on that, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. We're here with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, makers of the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we've sold and donated over 8 million pairs. Yes, donated.
Why? We learned that socks are the number one most requested clothing item at homeless shelters.
So we started Bombas with the mission of donating a pair of socks for every pair we sell.
To donate and sell a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, using the best materials available.
Like the softest and most comfortable cotton.
Getting rid of what wasn't working.
Like that annoying toe seam you can probably feel if you wiggle your toes right now.
And inventing a few new comfort innovations along the way.
Like arch support that feels like a hug around your midfoot.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate over 8 million pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/Tom and get 20% off your first order. That's BOMBAS.com/THOM. Bombas.com/Tom.
And Congressman, did you want to comment on my comment?
No, I think that's a very insightful point, Tom. And I read that George W. Bush was working the phones trying to get Collins and others to vote for Kavanaugh. So it's important to realize this is not just Trumpism. This is a concerted effort of the Republican Party to put people like Kavanaugh and in the past Gorsuch, Roberts on the court, who are partisans. And that's, I mean, they have this charade that judges should just be umpires and call balls and strikes. I don't have that view of judges in the first place. I think it's a incorrect view. But on their own rhetoric, they are not picking intellects, conservative jurists at law schools who would fall into that category. They're picking people in the trenches who have done the dirty work to get the Republicans elected. And they have really turned the Supreme Court into a partisan body. And it's most evident, I think, the final nail in the coffin is Kavanaugh.
Yeah, amen. Don in Portland, Oregon, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
I've been listening for a long time here. Tom, I worked as a college chaplain, as well as going to an elite university. Believe me, I know who the rape gang has been, and they are the privileged sons of power. They are not the blue-collar scholarship kids. And I also want to say that I saw the Federalist Society as the law school, and what a bunch of intellectually empty twits.
Okay. Congressman Khanna?
I'll say, look, I been a little embarrassed that I went to Yale Law School and the conduct of our law school today was not a finest moment. But having gone there, I can tell you I knew the type of Kavanaugh, and it says, frankly, nothing to even do with his privileged background. It's this careerism. There were those of in law school who wanted to go change the world. Some of my friends who I have the most admiration for went and did human rights work or working for civil rights. And then there were those who, you know, saw themselves from the time they were in law school as wanting to be on the Supreme Court, wanting to be President of the United States, Secretary of State. And they would do anything to advance their career. And Kavanaugh is off that careerism perspective where he feels entitled to be part of the ruling governing class. And that's what's so concerning about him, because he has no conviction, no sense that he's going to stand for right and wrong. He's been willing to succumb to power throughout his career, whether it was the Ken Starr investigation, whether it was doing George W. Bush's work, or whether it's now repeating Trump's blanket denials because he thinks that's what's going to get him ahead. Well, Tom, I think we've got to mobilize our base to win back the House and win back the the Senate. That's the first step. And then we need to win back the presidency because we need to realize on our side that the fight for the Supreme Court matters. The conservatives have been mobilizing their base based on that. I think we've got to realize this is an existential fight for the soul of the country on the Supreme Court. And then we need to have it on the table that we may need to expand the number of justices, that we may need to push for term limits, and that we're not going to allow a Supreme Court to be counter-majoritarian and undermine women's rights or prevent progressive legislation. We're going to take steps to prevent that, whether that's expanding the court or term limits.
So in the last 30 seconds here, the things that we should be doing and paying attention to in this coming week or 2 weeks.
Well, I think the most urgent thing is the election. I mean, I do think after Kavanaugh and the way the hearings happen, the Senate is going to be in play. You've had suburban Republican women turned off by the whole process. So I think every Senate seat that is a battleground seat is in play. I certainly think the House is in play. And every person can make an impact, whether it's through social media, writing postcards, phone calls, to make sure that this election sends a message. Because I'll tell you, let me end on this point. If we don't do that in the election, then it ratifies in some sense what the Republicans did. They have to pay a price at the polls for their action.
Amen. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Bob, watching Free Speech TV in Chicago. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi. First of all, I wanted to wish you congratulations. I've been watching and listening to your program for the better part of 10 years or more.
Wow.
Thank you. It seems to me that you've been getting more right-wing trolls than I ever recall, which means that they fear you. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, our show has probably three times larger now than it was 5 years ago. It's really expanding and, therefore.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention two things. A note of confusion on my part. Congressman Rokan, I had mentioned about a permanent tax law being permanent. And I'm confused. Does that mean that no new legislation can be made to reverse it?
No.
No,
it can be reversed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing is about Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does not make it as a justice, another nominee pretty much to the same belief system that he has, it lies in wait. So on one hand, as much as it disgusts me to think, I'm wondering if it's better to get him in there because it leaves the possibility, a better possibility of impeaching him. Because I don't know what the other person nominee may be.
The next nominee would be Amy Coney Barrett, according to all the observers.
Right,
and she is a hardcore right-wing Catholic who vehemently opposes even birth control.
Well, right, but she may be cleaner as far as she doesn't have, as far as I know, of any perjury or anything against her. But in regards to that being the impeachment, is the method exactly the same as a president? Because does it also involve bringing in the Supreme Court to impeach a justice?
If a Supreme Court justice is being impeached, I don't know if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would be the presiding officer in the Senate or not, but I do know that it would require a two-thirds vote of the Senate and a majority vote of the House of Representatives to remove them from office.
Which is why I would hope that, a show like yours and other progressive organizations would really, really push as hard as possible to get Democrats to completely dominate Congress and, of course, the White House.
Yeah, we don't need a blue wave. We need a blue tsunami.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, the Senate, I don't think it's going to happen this time, but in the next election, I think that it would definitely has a possibility. And I don't know what the situation is going to happen with Trump. I keep hearing that he'll get reelected if he doesn't get impeached. But I have a hard time believing that, considering how much discontent is out there about this administration.
Oh, he won by losing 3 million votes. You know, the Republicans control the House of Representatives with when the Democrats got 53% of the vote nationwide. The Republicans control the Senate when they represent just slightly over 30% of the American electorate. The system is rigged, and one of the major riggings is, you know, in the last 5 years, over 3 million people, mostly Democratic-leaning minorities, have been purged from the voting rolls across the country. I mean, this is what we're facing. So we've got to get out in disproportionate numbers, Bob. We've really got to get out there and do this. Bob, thank you for the call and for your kind words. Dawn in Port Charlotte, Florida. Hey, Dawn, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. Watching the testimony, I thought that Professor Ford was incredible. But when they brought out Brett Kavanaugh, his excessive drinking of water, as a recovering person myself, reminds me of when I'm a recovering person of 38 years, so it's not something new, but it's old behavior, just like smoking. He had a tendency that every time he got wound up and got upset about something, he grabbed for the water and he drank. And he many, many times he grabbed for a drink. It's just similar to when a recovering person, whether it being smoking, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, smoking pot or whatever the case may be, it's that excessive behavior that we become so adaptive to satisfying or de-stressing us.
Yeah.
Whether it be with alcohol and stuff. He so regularly, every time he started to get upset yesterday, he drank. He drank. If you go back and watch how much water he actually drank, is pretty scary if you pay attention to body language and behaviors. I did not believe the man. I do not trust the man. Yes, I'm a victim of sexual trauma and was asked by my son. I was date raped when I was 15, 14 years old, and we have dealt with that, and I do have a son that I gave up for adoption who is 44 years old. My son, middle son, said to me, would you come about 44 years later and say something? I said, if it meant that my 5 granddaughters, my daughter, or my 3 daughter-in-laws could be affected by this man's decision, of course I'd come out against him hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, quick question, Dawn. You said that as a recovering alcoholic, you saw behaviors, Kavanaugh's constant wanting to put a glass to his mouth and drink something, that was something that you recognized as alcoholic behavior. He insisted yesterday he does not have a drinking problem. Does that, in your mind, suggest that he might be a high-functioning alcoholic, that he's actually still an alcoholic and he's still drinking a lot?
Yes, because I think he's a con man, just like most alcoholics and even recovering alcoholics. And like I will tell you, one of my worst behaviors, Tom, is that I can cut people apart and walk away with a smile, and they didn't even know that they were abused because of that's my behavior, and that's a behavior I work really hard at not doing.
Right.
Is cutting people apart to make myself feel better.
So you see alcoholism as part of a broader spectrum of personality disorders or behaviors?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I do. I very much do, and I say that, and I've been through mega counseling, AA, NA, adult children's, of alcoholics and codependents. So, I mean, I have walked the walk and I talk the talk.
Yeah.
It's not a lip service here, sir.
No, I get it. I get it. Dawn, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your story and for your observations. It's fascinating. Steve in Minneapolis. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Nice to hear from you again. I'm wondering, in regards to the 8th District Court, is Merrick Garland Kavanaugh's boss right now? And
yes.
If he doesn't make it to the Supreme Court, can the 8th District Court do anything against him and all the lies he's submitted to the Congress?
Yeah, it's not the 8th Circuit, it's the D.C. Circuit. It's its own unique little, I think it might theoretically be numbered 1, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But in any case, the D.C. Circuit, which deals with basically any lawsuit that involves the federal government, which resides in the District of Columbia. And yes, Merrick Garland is sort of his boss. Merrick Garland is the Chief Justice of the D.C. Circuit Court, and as such, he has some say over the calendar and over the cases, although just like the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe that those cases are granted cert, are granted the right, the status to be heard before the court by a certain number of justices. I don't know the math on the D.C. court. On the U.S. Supreme Court, it takes four judges to say, yes, we want to hear this case. So Garland isn't his boss in that he can fire him or that he can relegate him to the outer, you know, to the outer darkness. But it certainly is mind-bogglingly ironic. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Kino in Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Kino, what's up?
Hey, this is Kino, the moose herder Republican that wants reform in the Republican Party. We have a message to send to Senator Sass. Right now, he's with a...
Ben Sass on the Judiciary Committee, the Republican from Nebraska?
Yeah, he's going in there to vote now. Now, this is a message. If he votes now for Kavanaugh, we want him to vote against Kavanaugh in the general election, because right now it's a bunch of chimpanzees over there. And, of course, Lindsey, he was the biggest unmated male chimpanzee throwing a temper tantrum. But I want Republicans. I want Sass and Marco Rubio and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Lamar Alexander to turn from chimpanzees into a pride of lions, to bring down the old rogue elephant later. But they change from chimpanzees. Don't vote with the chimpanzees, because Lindsey, Graham, he was a big chimpanzee throwing stuff around and doing a
temper tantrum. Kino, why don't you just leave the Republican Party and become a Democrat?
I'm not going to retreat. I have ideals for Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt is my hero. And for Teddy Roosevelt, I'm going to try.
But Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive.
Maybe like tilting at windmills, but I got to try to do my best. I asked the Republicans, those group, to form a pride of lions and change from chimpanzees.
Yeah, I get it. But Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive. You know, we had progressive Republican senators right up until the 1970s. But with Reagan's election, the party began purging them. This was when the billionaires took over the Republican Party, and now they completely own it.
Well, they have turned indecent. Bullies start with small, little disrespectful things, and then they escalate. And so that's what they're doing now. They're seeing what they can get away with, but the whole world is going to see these chimpanzees will not prevail. We will have a constitutional amendment that selected president, one that was selected and not elected with a majority vote.
I get it. Kino, we're out of time, but thank you. Take one atom of nitrogen and bond it with one atom of oxygen, and boom, you just created nitric oxide, a miracle molecule your own body makes that fuels your cardiovascular health, keeping you vibrant. But as we all age, our bodies need help generating more natural nitric oxide. Superbeets by Human N has harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own. The core philosophy of Human N is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. One teaspoon of superbeets daily supports your cardiovascular health and blood pressure levels, giving you natural energy without the need of a quick caffeine kick or sugar high. We're talking real. We're talking healthy, natural energy. Call 800-568-9889 or go to tomsbeets.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of superbeets and free shipping with your first purchase. Feel the 1 plus 1 equals boom effect of superbeets. Call 800-568-9889 or go to tomsbeets.com today. Welcome back. So some of the headlines from Daily Kos today, just by way of here's what's going on. Lindsey Graham and the good old boys say Dr. Ford has, quote, a problem, end quote, and that she needs to, quote, get therapy. Number one. Number two, Republicans blocked the testimony of Deborah Ramirez from being heard by the Senate committee. Number three, Lindsey Graham's rage was a threat to his fellow Republicans. Close ranks now or else. Number four, Republicans ditched their female assistant after questions about a key entry in Kavanaugh's calendar. That would be July 1st. The next headline from Daily Kos, John Cornyn, the Republican senator from Texas. It's cruel to make Mark Judge testify because he has anxiety. You know, like Christine Blasey Ford talked about her anxiety. Oh, my God. And off topic of the hearings, but I think this is a big deal. 64 days after A federal judge's deadline, 136 kidnapped migrant children are still subject to child abuse at the hands of our government. They are still separated from their parents. This is criminal. We're looking at the cancer stage of capitalism. This is the end stage of the billionaire takeover of America. And Brett Kavanaugh is a toady for the billionaires. Every single Republican senator on that committee unless is a toady for the billionaires, because the billionaires have now built a political machine, the Americans for Prosperity and the other groups that are funded by the Koch brothers and their billionaire buddies. They have built a political machine that has more money, more employees, more offices, and is more active than the entire Republican Party itself. The Republican Party, as John Boehner pointed out, no longer exists. Tony, in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Tom, you're my hero. What I saw you do on Bill Maher is epic.
Well, thank you.
I loved it.
Thank you. It's a great show.
Yes, it was. You were talking the other day about socialism, and you said the only thing that would be left is the military and the police. In lieu of your last conversation with the gentleman about the private prisons, and you know I'm very with this is where they're headed with packing the Supreme Court the way they're doing. As a black man in the South, this doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, or any of the rest of us. But yeah, it falls particularly hard on you and also black women.
Yeah, I mean, all they want to do, and I've been in a private prison. They moved us from Alabama to Louisiana to a private prison.
Right.
And they didn't even do nothing. They just said, hey, you guys can do what you want to do. We want to make you guys happy because, you know, everybody's overpaid, making tons of money, and corporations making lots of money. You guys are going to get extra long sentences, of course, because the shareholders have to make money.
Right.
This absolutely makes no sense. It's a slap in the face. It's not even justice. And what we saw from Kavanaugh yesterday looked like that man needed a drug test.
Yeah. Well, dry drunk. I mean, assuming he hadn't had a drink before he went in yesterday, he was a classic dry drunk. He was the classic, you know, person who, I mean, here he is saying, no, I don't have anger problems when I drink. And you're like, really? I'm sorry, Tony, I interrupted you.
And an old hamburger under a heat lamp. I mean, the guy was just so flat out. And I'm looking at this thinking, you know what? They're going to pack the court. They're going to do all they can to pack more people into these prisons. And you know, I'm part of a prayer group here in Alabama, and I was asking the people, I said, listen, who's praying for those kids that are in those prisons? And it got really political. It turned sideways. I mean, if we're going in to pray for inmates, why not pray for those children? I got some really crazy responses, but this is just where it's headed. Law enforcement and white privilege. I've learned, Tom, that there's layers of white privilege. I thought everybody had it. No, everybody don't have it. They're showing you who had it. When this man says, I did this and I did this and I did this, I thought he was going to say, hey, I created the earth and I never even rested on the seventh day. That's how good I am, you know?
He was bragging about class privilege as much as white privilege. And, you know, and those two things are typically entangled, but sometimes they're disentangled. But class privilege is something we almost never talk about in the United States. Thank you for the call. It's always good to hear from you, and you always have something very, very insightful to say. Nicholas in Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Nicholas, what's up?
Mr. Hartman, how are you?
I'm well.
Nicholas, who usually calls you from Mexico.
Oh, cool. You're back in the country.
Yeah. God help me. I'm in Kentucky for the month. Oh, boy.
Yep. So what's up?
This is just something to share with you that a friend shared with me last night, a retired professor of law and American history at the university here, and his very smart wife as well. After about 3 hours of conversation about those hearings yesterday, I said, I said, is there any takeaway you have, any simple way of wrapping up your overall feeling as to what has happened in our country? And he said, and I about fell off the sofa, and he said, yes. He said, this is what happens when the fringe becomes the fabric.
Yeah, absolutely. What we are looking at, right? And let's make no bones about it, what we are looking at is the final stage of the billionaire takeover of the United States of America.
I absolutely agree. They are desperate.
Yes. Well, they're not desperate. They're actually controlling the process. If they get Kavanaugh on this court, then they don't care if they lose the House or Senate for the next 20 years, because Kavanaugh is going to be there for the next 40 years.
I agree. They understand the importance of the Supreme Court far better than some of our quote-unquote players do, which is horrifying. We need to step the game up significantly.
Yeah, no, the Supreme Court has been the whole game. I mean, it was the game with Bush v. Gore. It was the game, I mean...
Citizens United.
Yeah, all of this stuff. Yeah. It's all been about the Supreme Court. Nicholas, I want to get some more calls in, but thank you. Yeah, spot on. Mary in Grifton, North Carolina, watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Mary, what's on your mind today?
Well, what's on my mind? I'm thinking I'm crazy sometimes. When Brett Kavanaugh was being questioned by the Senate last week, the senators, the whatever you want to call them, every time somebody asked him a question, he replied with, that is a hypothetical question, and I can't answer. Why didn't he just say, I take the Fifth Amendment? It would have saved a whole lot of time.
Yeah, well, mostly what he was doing yesterday was saying, how dare you challenge me? I went to Georgetown Prep. I went to Yale Law School. I played basketball. I am a rich white man. How dare you ask? That's what I got
you
from yesterday.
You are taking those words. That was my very... I had written them. I had written my questions down because I'm old and I forget things. But it, all day yesterday, that little fit tantrum he threw was, how dare you question me? I am privileged. I got money. You have no rights.
Yep.
You're exactly right. Can't people see that? What's wrong with people? They want somebody like that on the Supreme Court.
I think all across America, Mary, people saw that. And I think that if the Republicans put this guy on the court, and right now I think it's probably 50-50, but, you know, there's, like I said, there's just as bad right behind him, just not with all the baggage. But if the Republicans put this guy on the Supreme Court, you know, I could make an argument that that would actually be a destructive thing for the Republican Party. And America, you know, and particularly the women of America are going to say, okay, that's it. We've had enough. And
well,
that's why I think the committee has not even had its vote.
You said that a while ago when I was listening to you. I thought if they put him on the Supreme Court and if an investigation is done and found out that he is lying, couldn't he be impeached or fired or whatever?
Yes, he could be impeached. It would take two-thirds of the Senate, though, to remove him from office, which, you know, is a really, really high bar. Once he's on the court, you know, just like Clarence Thomas, who also lied during his confirmation hearings, and John Roberts, who lied during his confirmation hearings, once he's on the court, it's pretty much a done deal. And
well, I remembered Thomas very distinctly, 91, 92. I watched those.
Yeah.
And I felt so sorry for Anita, the lady that was
testifying
against him. I always felt like he was lying about her.
Yes. Well, I think it was fairly obvious that he was lying to her, and it was fairly obvious to much of America. And by the way, did you know, Mary, that the reason Dianne Feinstein decided to run for the Senate in 1992 was because of Clarence Thomas's testimony?
Bless her heart.
All across America, the Time magazine named it the Year of the Woman. All across America, women were jumping into politics. It was the first major wave of women into politics. The second major wave is happening right now in this election cycle, with women jumping into politics as a consequence of the election of Donald Trump.
Well, that's a good thing. But
it
I
is.
Want to see some men jumping in. I would like to know that some men out there have some plain old common horse sense.
Yep. Yeah, that seems to be in short supply on the Republican side. Well, actually, you know, these Republicans know exactly what they're doing. If they vote the way that the billionaires want them to vote, they will be protected. They'll have multi-million dollar jobs when they leave Congress. The billionaires will pour hundreds of millions of dollars into their election campaigns, and they get to keep their power and their wealth and their prestige and their status and their privilege. And if they go against the billionaires, they're toast, which is why Flake and Corker have not left the Republican Party, even though the Republican Party has rejected elected them, because the billionaires, it's no longer the, it's no longer a, par, a political party. It is now the billionaires' party. Mary, thank you for the call. Let's check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world today. This report brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com and Ellen Ratner's new book, Loving What You Do. On the line with us is Luke Vargas, or actually you're a different bureau chief, aren't you, Luke? There's another title for you.
I am the chief foreign correspondent.
Thank you. The chief foreign correspondent. I've said it many times. I'm sorry. You can be followed on Twitter at The Courier. So what's going on in the world, Luke?
Well, I will shift everyone's attention away from Washington for a moment, because a lot has been going on. And the big thing to watch is trade. We are going to be getting their NAFTA, in air quotes, renegotiation deal. There is a lot of interest hanging on this, not least in Canada, a country that I think has probably lost more international clout than many here at the United Nations this week. Justin Trudeau came here trying to figure out a way to get back in Trump's good graces, to try and put Canada back in the driver's seat on trade. He failed at almost every turn.
Trump is hatefully jealous of Justin Trudeau. He's young, he's good looking. He doesn't need money or harassment to pick up girls. Well, he's got a wife now and a family. I mean, he's everything Donald Trump isn't. I don't think Trump is ever going to be friends with Justin Trudeau.
Yeah. Whatever the rationale there, the enmity directed at Canada was pretty palpable at a lunch that occurred after President Trump spoke on Tuesday. I happened to be in the room while Canada's prime minister has been seated with the president at his table in years past. He was noticeably not there, sent to a secondary table this year. The person just a few seats over from President Trump this year was Mexico. And that sort of tells us what we need to know about this trade deal, that you had for months been seeing the leaders of Mexico and Canada feeling like they needed to be united against Trump. The Canadians said, we're not going to push forward on a bilat without the Mexicans, and vice versa. It turns out Mexico sort of pursued two tracks. They have continued to say they are pushing the United States to agree to various provisions of this NAFTA deal that will include Canada in the future, but at the same time, they have been unafraid to race ahead with the U.S. and leave Canada behind. And so it's Canada that this week signed on to a sort of a renewal of the U.S. war on drugs. At least it's not clear Canada's policies are actually going to change very much, but they were basically bent by U.S. pressure, forced to sign this deal. Canada thought they could get some, applause from President Trump for doing that. They didn't, and then Trudeau was humiliated at home for, signing on to a prohibitionist drug policy, resolution that very much undercuts the needle sharing, the legalization of marijuana policies, and other things that Trudeau has championed. And he was spurned by President Trump at that lunch. And the chances that Canada has succeeded in convincing the U.S. and others to back its seat on the U.N. Security Council also appear to have been dashed this week. And so what we're hearing now is that there is a shifting realization in Canada that no NAFTA deal is better than a bad NAFTA deal, and that the country's trade representatives are beginning to think that the strategy going forward should be to perhaps walk away, even if just for a little bit, and start making one-on-one deals with the U.S. and with Canada, or with Mexico. So it's a big week for trade, and let's watch what happens at 7 to see if there is room left in this deal for Canada to get back in, or if U.S. and Mexico are just going to do this and push on ahead.
Fascinating. Luke Vargas with Talk Media News. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Tom.
And you can follow Luke at The Courier on Twitter.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.